You are going to be the best mom.
I'm an amazing mother.
You are the best mom in the whole world.
Lady, you are the best mom ever.
Welcome to The Mom Show, My Talk 107.1's new show featuring guests and topics that all good moms will want to hear. The phone lines are open for your questions.
Am I doing this right?
651-641-1071 or email the show at mytalk1071.com, keyword mom.
We're talking Midwives 101 here on The Mom Show this morning on My Talk 107.1. My name is Holly. I'm filling in for Miss Shannon this morning, and joining me in studio are Katrina and Rachel. They are both midwives. They work at Health Foundation's Family Health and Birth Center. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Lovely to have you here. And again, we're talking Midwives 101 this morning. So if you have any questions for Katrina and Rachel, they are both midwives, give us a call this morning, 651-641-1071. We would love to hear from you. If you have questions, if you want to share your experience with working with a midwife yourself, give us a call. Again, our number is 651-641-1071. So let's get to know you ladies a little bit more. Katrina, let's start with you.
So we've actually got pretty similar stories. Rachel and I were both college roommates, actually, in nursing school back in the day.
Oh, nice.
And then we were actually both exposed to midwives at the same time, too. We spent a summer internship between our junior and senior year in Indonesia working alongside a midwife.
Wow, that's great. Was that something that you elected to do out of many different options?
We didn't have to do anything, and we found a way for ourselves and got ourselves over there. So.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Great. And so you went to the same place at school, and you mm-hmm. decided that this midwifery mm-hmm. was something that you wanted to pursue as a career.
Yeah, I mean, definitely for me, as a nursing student, I loved working with moms, and I loved the idea of empowering moms and equipping them to be awesome moms and really supporting them in that journey. And at the time, I wasn't sure if that might be pediatrics or possibly OB. And in the context of working with a midwife, I loved seeing how they were really able to build relationships with women over a period of time. And then they could be there with them for the birth. And then when they were pregnant again, they could be with them again. And I liked that kind of long-term relationship building aspect that came with midwifery.
That's amazing. So we're talking to Katrina and Rachel, who are both midwives. They work at Health Foundation's Family Health and Birth Center. And we need to get to the definition of exactly what a midwife is, because I think that there's a lot of different ideas about how a midwife functions in the role of the birth of a child. When I think of a midwife, I think of the BBC 1950s series called The Midwife.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I'm sure, right? So I have this idea in my head that a midwife was something that was used back in the day. However, being a midwife is a very modern career. It is very 21st century. So what is the definition of a midwife in 2018?
Yeah, well, you bring up a super good point, Holly, with midwifery. I think a lot of people do go back to the 1950s or honestly even prior to that, because right. midwifery is a career that's been around
forever.
Since the dawn of time. But specifically now, you know, I think in the last few years specifically, that modern midwifery, or sometimes it's even this new hip thing to have a midwife, which we kind of laugh and joke about at the birth center just because it has been something that's been around for so long. But the actual, you know, definition of midwifery is something to really just consider and see what does that actually mean for people in today's culture. And it's interesting because midwife actually means with women. You know, it's our role as professionals is to serve clients and families, but the direct definition of our profession is with women, which I just think speaks so much to who we are as providers and the chance that we literally can work alongside women and serve them on a daily basis.
So at what point in the process, in the birth process, would a woman reach out to you, Katrina and Rachel, to begin the midwifery process?
As soon as she's figuring out where she's wanting to give birth and with what kind of practice she wants to give birth in, that would be the time for her to reach out.
Great. So mm-hmm. you're there almost from the beginning or at any point in time that a woman reaches out to you. So take us through the process, just a general process of where you will be in the birth process with a woman.
Yeah. So midwives would be responsible for providing the prenatal care as well as birth care as well as postpartum care. So in pregnancy, she'd probably be seeing her midwife about every 4 weeks until around 28 weeks and then every couple weeks and then weekly once we're getting close to the birth.
And so what are you doing in those meetings?
Yeah. So in those meetings, we're listening to the baby. We're measuring and making sure baby's growth looks good. We're checking mom's blood pressure so that core outline of what it means to provide prenatal care is pretty similar across the board, whether you're seeing an OB, whether you're seeing a midwife. And then I think for midwifery specifically, visits tend to be longer. So at the birth center, our first visit is about an hour, and then the return visits are about half an hour. And we love spending a lot of extra time on education and on making sure that we're not just meeting her physical needs, but considering what else might be going on in the birth or for her pregnancy that's affecting her. So in addition to lots of nutrition counseling and building up her body, not just preventing disease, but really promoting health. In addition to those teaching points, we're also making sure that overall they're feeling good and transitioning to motherhood is a really big transition. So how are they doing with that? And how are we getting prepared for that? And it's not uncommon to sit down and say, hey, how's it going? What's new? What kind of questions did you come with today? And they whip out a sheet of 12 questions.
Wow.
It's like, let's start rocking them out.
Right, because you are there to help them answer, and you're there to answer those questions. Now, you're saying that you're helping women along the whole birth journey.
Yeah.
Do you see women who are giving birth for the first time? Do you see returning women? So is it all across the spectrum?
Yeah, it's definitely a decent mixture. Well, at least at the birth center and across any midwifery care, we do see a lot of first-time families and we see a lot of returning families. Specifically at the birth center, we have some women that have given birth in other settings with their first baby and then come to us with their second, or they've been with us all, you know, for all of their babies.
All five.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which makes it really fun for us as providers because we just get to build that relationship across multiple years, and it's a really, really amazing community and time to really get to know families through this journey.
And it's always a unique situation. Every birth is different.
Mm-hmm. It is. And as far as midwifery goes, for nurse midwives, 95% of them actually practice in hospital settings. And then it's about 2.5% that are in birth centers, and then another 2.5% or so that do home births. So you'll find nurse midwives in all settings for birth, and then certified professional midwives are in birth centers and in home settings. Mm-hmm. So regardless of where women want to give birth, they can have a midwife. So I think one of the common misconceptions is that if I'm seeing a midwife, I couldn't have an epidural. Uh-huh. So we're seeing essentially healthy women and journeying with them through that. And then so pretty much low to potentially moderate risk if they're seeing a midwife in a hospital, they would still be great candidates to be with midwives.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And again, if you're just joining us, this is a Mom Show on My Talk 107.1. We're talking Midwives 101 with Katrina and Rachel. They're from Health Foundation's Family Health and Birth Center. And I'm glad that you touched on that misconception that if you're using a midwife, you don't have access to epidurals. You don't have access to being in a hospital. I think that those are some common misconceptions. And we're going to take a break here. And when we come back from that break, we're going to talk more common misconceptions about what it means to work with a midwife during your birth process. So give us a call, 651-641-1071. If you have a question or for Katrina or Rachel or both, they're more than happy to take your call this morning. They are great resources of information regarding midwifery. So again, our number here is 651-641-1071. And we will get to those common misconceptions about working with midwives when we come back here on the Mom Show on My Talk 107.1.
My Talk 107.1. Everything.
You're in the good place. You're okay, Ellen.
Entertainment.
Hey guys, it's Caitlin Bristow with Off the Vine. Last year was so great, and I'm kicking off the new year with a bang. I'm adding a mini episode each week. I'm going to answer your questions, take your confessions, and just so much more. So check out new episodes of Off the Vine every Tuesday and the new mini episodes starting Thursday, January 11th, exclusively at podcastone.com and the Podcast One app. Plus, remember to rate and review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps me out.
This is attorney Jeff Sheridan with the Sheridan and Dulas Law Firm. If you find yourself or a loved one in the serious situation of a DWI arrest, the worst thing you can do is nothing. While you're waiting around for your first court appearance, valuable rights you have are disappearing. You will need help navigating a confusing situation during an emotional time. I'm happy to meet with you in person for a free consultation to explain it all.
Hi, this is Deanne Dulas from Sheridan and Dulas, attorneys at law and host of The Mom Show, heard here on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. The thought of ending a marriage is a tough decision, and the process itself can create even 100 more difficult decisions. It's important to make sure that at all times, my clients have as much information as they can have to be able to make good decisions for themselves. It's also important to make sure that that information is honest. If you're interested in getting more information, please contact me for a free consultation at ssdpa.com to help you answer your questions to start the process of making the right decisions for you and your family.
This week on The Mom Show, Jeff and Deanne will talk about some helpful hints in criminal law and family law that you probably don't know, but really should.
Your Channel 5 Eyewitness News weather forecast for today is currently 35 degrees here at My Talk, but for today, expect a high of 38 and a low of 30, mostly cloudy skies. For tomorrow, high of 32, low of 15, cloudy and windy with snow. Again, it's currently 35 degrees here at My Talk.
Thunder, feel the thunder.
My glasses while I was scheming for the masses. Who do you think you are?
We're talking Midwives 101 on The Mom Show here on My Talk 107.1. I'm Holly. I'm joined in studio by Katrina and Rachel from Health Foundation's Family Health and Birth Center. They are both midwives working with that organization. And we are talking everything midwives this morning. So if you have questions or comments for Katrina and Rachel, give us a call this morning, 651-641-1071. We'd love to hear from you and we'd love you to join the conversation. And we do have somebody who wants to join the conversation this morning. Becky is joining us. Good morning, Becky.
Good morning.
Good morning. What would you like to comment on this morning?
I just wanted to say that I'm 64. I have three grown daughters. They were all delivered by midwives in birth centers, and it was the best experience ever. Each of them was unique, and I had the same midwife for my first two daughters and a different one for my third, and it was fantastic. And I just am so supportive of midwives, and I think it's so much the way to go. There's so much. I like them so much better than doctors because they are there for you. They take time for you. They're qualified. It's just the best.
Oh, so Becky, what you're saying is that your experience with midwives, they were there for you for the whole birth experience, the emotional, the physical, and the medical.
Yes, they were there from the very beginning. Yep.
Oh, excellent. Well, Becky, thank you so much for calling us this morning. We appreciate it.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Oh, thank you, Becky. Again, if you want to join the conversation, call us 651-641-1071. We're talking about Midwives 101. We do have Katrina and Rachel here in studio from Health Foundation's Family Health and Birth Center. And again, Becky, she used the services of a midwife 30 plus years ago and just had a wonderful experience. And that speaks to the fact that midwifery really does take care of the total birthing experience. So that was just a wonderful comment. Now let's get into some more of the technical aspects of midwifery. And we did talk about this a little bit in the previous segment, but there are different certifications for different types of midwifery. And I think, Katrina, you can speak to the differences between a certified nurse midwife and a certified professional midwife.
Yeah, sure. So I think earlier you were asking how you even go about doing some of this research, and I think probably the first step is to figure out what kind of a setting you'd like to give birth in. And for certified professional midwives, their education either ranges from a really robust, long apprenticeship-type model to even having a master's or doctorate degree or some combination of both of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's varied, and then they would take like a national certification exam to be a certified professional midwife.
And there's an organization that administers that test.
Mm-hmm, the NAACPM. Mm-hmm. And then from there, their expertise is really in essentially healthy, normal pregnancy and birth and postpartum in the home and birth center settings. So they're taking care of essentially healthy women in those settings, and that really is their expertise, mm-hmm. as well as newborn care for those first couple months. So those would be certified professional midwives. And then certified nurse midwives can do all that, though probably they have more experience in the hospital potentially. And then from there, though, they can take care of essentially healthy to even a little bit of risk. And sometimes that's in collaboration with OBs as well. So depending on if women are coming in with different types of diagnoses that might impact their pregnancy or birth, they could still potentially work with a midwife. So maybe that's gestational diabetes. So just depending on the issue, they could still be great candidates to be working with nurse midwives. And then in addition to pregnancy, birth, postpartum, and newborn care, nurse midwives can also provide women's health care. So their scope of practice is essentially the same as like a women's health nurse practitioner.
Sure.
In that they can prescribe medications. Like at the birth center, I do quite a bit of contraception and birth control. We can take care of menstrual issues. We can take care of like breast concerns, menopause, as well as basic primary care issues too. So like if you're pregnant and you end up having a urinary tract infection, your nurse midwife would be able to prescribe you antibiotics, for example. So we can do some basic primary care as well as women's health issues really through the whole lifespan. So whether you're wanting to have children or not wanting to have children, you can still be seen a nurse midwife.
That's great. So you're taking care of the whole reproductive life.
Yes.
Of a woman. So from the time of menstruation all the way to the end of menstruation with
Perfect.
Menopause. So you as a certified nurse midwife can do all of those things.
Correct.
Now, and one question I did have is, if you want a midwife to be part of your birth experience, that is something that you as an individual will have to actively seek out. It's not necessarily going to be something that's proposed to you and that's included with, you know, an average birth experience. Like, that is something that you have to seek out and you have to research and you have to do. Like, it's not going to be proposed to you.
You know, potentially, it depends on where you're initially reaching out for where you're wanting to do your care.
Okay.
I mean, in the Twin Cities, there's 5 different birth centers. There's a lot of different home birth providers, and almost every hospital setting is going to have one, if not more, practices of midwives that are planning to be there and able to attend
birth.
Sure.
So if you select a hospital, let's for example, mm-hmm. and you want to give birth at X, Y, and Z hospital, mm-hmm. They will say, by the way, we do have midwives that work with our hospital. If you choose to do so, you can work with one of these people in your birth process.
Sure.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Getting that straight. Just is it obvious? I have never given birth, so I have a lot of questions for you. Speaking to that, there's so much that a certified nurse midwife can do. Let's talk a little bit about, as midwives, Katrina and Rachel, how do you approach it from a philosophical point of view? You know, how do you approach this work and what is your philosophy to being a midwife?
Yeah, so I think Katrina touched on this a little bit earlier, but our biggest philosophy as midwives, especially in regards to birth, is that really birth is normal. And you hear that, you know, it becomes sort of almost a cliche phrase, but in a sense, it's so not, because I think a lot of times in our culture, there's a lot of fear around birth. You know, if you interview the general public of women and ask them about childbirth, I think some of the first just responses have to do with fear and, you know, what the what ifs and all those things. And as midwives, I think one of our biggest goals is to really talk about just how normal birth is and that we really are guardians of that natural birth process. And of course, as Katrina alluded to earlier, if there are things that come up, we are trained to help kind of veer and steer that birth back to the normal realm if we can. But we also know that there's times that we do need to provide interventions. But we do have certain hallmarks of our profession, or, you know, pearls and that we love. And Katrina can touch on some of those as well.
Yeah, great. So one of the hallmarks, again, would be that advocacy for non-intervention and promoting normal physiologic birth and letting that labor unfold how it wants to unfold and us just really being supportive in that. Another piece is really that we want to empower women as being partners in their healthcare. So we want to have a very woman and family-centered approach to our care and that there's really true shared decision-making where if decisions need to be made, whether that's in pregnancy or labor, that we're fully informing. And then if it warrants a recommendation, great. If it really is fully up to her, then really leaving that ball in her court that ultimately she's the one that's in control of her health care.
Right.
And I think as far as labor goes, like we'll have women come who maybe say that with their last birth, they were told that they needed to push on their back and that that just really didn't feel natural or right to them. So then for her birth, we want to make sure that assuming that her and baby and everything's sounding great, that she can squat by the a side of the tub, that she can be in the water in just about any position, that she can push on hands and knees, that she can be in the shower, wherever feels best to her, that right. we're wanting to stand with her and give her that freedom of movement and ultimately letting her be in control of how her labor's unfolding.
Yeah, I keep on circling back to the word in my mind, empowerment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You as midwives are there to empower women to make the best choices for themselves, and you understand through experience, through education, what the possibilities for each woman might be. Again, you know, if she experienced something that was not to her liking in a previous birth, well, here you are with many options for them to be able to have that birth in the best way possible.
Yeah. Yes.
I think mm-hmm. the longer I work in this profession, just more and more I come to the conclusion just how amazing women truly are. And watching them give birth is just one instance, but it's such a time period of their lives where they can really show just what they can do, what their strength is. You know, the big secret is just women are amazing. And I wish that is something that we could shout from the rooftops, honestly, is that through their birth journey, we see woman after woman after woman come back and see us postpartum and just talk about how empowered they felt in their birth.
Yeah.
And it really has nothing, well, sometimes something to do with some things that we do. But honestly, our job is just to stand by them and help them get to that point. But they're the ones doing it.
Yeah.
And so much of our passion is just that women can know that they are the ones. Their body did this. They followed that. They rocked. They are amazing, amazing people that did this thing, and they will remember forever.
That's incredible. So again, providing that empowerment and the wisdom that you as midwives have, the education, the experience to guide them through that. I love that idea that mm-hmm. really women are amazing. Can we put that on a t-shirt, please?
Yeah.
And rock that around everywhere. It just speaks to the fact that giving birth is an amazing experience, and the fact that you as midwives can see women through that whole entire process and be there and guide them through that. And I'm sure that that's probably, as midwives and just as human beings in general, it's probably a pretty awesome feeling.
Yeah, I liken birth to being on top of Mount Everest, where if a woman is wanting to have a birth without an epidural, a natural labor, I think of it as kind of her wanting to climb Mount Everest and do that to get to the top of the mountain. And our job more than anything is just to cheer her on.
Yeah.
And be alongside her and not constantly offer her a helicopter to get to the top of the mountain. Now, if she wants a helicopter to get to the top of the mountain, that's fine. But if a woman's purpose going into her birth is that she wants to do this without medications, that our job really is to just cheer her on as she's climbing that mountain.
Yeah.
And so many women, once they hit the top of Mount Everest, they realize just how powerful they are.
Right.
And that's something that they can fall back on for the rest of their lives. Like I had one woman recently who was having a lot of trouble with breastfeeding. And she said, you know, this is challenging. And I think when I was pregnant, if I'd known it was going to be this hard, that would have been super intimidating. But after having had such a powerful labor experience, like I really do know that whatever parenting brings me, I can do it. I know I can do it because I reached the top of Mount Everest.
Oh, well, that's incredible.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. I love that so much. And just empowerment. And, mm-hmm. and doing it. I love climbing Mount Everest.
Yeah.
And you as midwives are there to support every step of the way.
Mm-hmm. And that at the top of the mountain, they too can have that be a period where they can look back at how their partner was supportive too, and to just see how bonding that experience can be for them. Like so many women hit the top and feel like, wow, I did this on my own. And just as many women hit the top and realize just how amazing their partner was and had no idea that he could be so supportive. And I think that's just a really beautiful way to start a family, to both recognize each other's strength and the way that you can really work together towards a really hard goal.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, on that note, we're going to take a break here on The Mom Show. Again, if you have questions for Katrina and Rachel, they're midwives working with Health Foundation's Family Health and Birth Center. Call us this morning, 651-641-1071. And when we get back, we're going to wrap up our conversation about Midwives 101 here on The Mom Show. It's Midwives 101 here on The Mom Show on My Talk 107.1 Everything Entertainment. I'm Holly. I'm joined in studio by Katrina and Rachel. They're from Health Foundation's Family Health and Birth Center. And we've been talking Midwives 101 all hour long. And if you have any questions about midwifery, give us a call, 651-641-1071. If you have a question for Katrina or Rachel, or if you want to share your experience about working with a midwife during your birth process. So again, 651-641-1071. Now, Katrina and Rachel, you work for Health Foundation's Family Health and Birth Center. So can you speak to the difference between healthy foundations and perhaps giving birth in a hospital setting?
Yeah, so this is Katrina. I really think the first question people need to ask themselves as they're thinking about where they want to give birth is just, where do you feel safest? And I think for some women, that is in a hospital setting, knowing that there is a ton of people running around that can help if we needed help. That's just where they're more comfortable. Or maybe you do have a diagnosis coming into pregnancy that does place you in a little bit more of a moderate risk realm, where being in a hospital setting would be more appropriate. So some of that is talking with your provider about what would be an appropriate place for you to give birth. Most women would be essentially healthy and be considered appropriate for being outside the hospital setting if they were wanting to be. So I think when you think about where you'd feel safest, I think for a good number of women, being in a home or a birth center setting feels safer in that they feel like their wishes are going to be respected, and they feel like they're with providers who they were able to build a more in-depth relationships with in pregnancy, just based on longer appointment times and maybe smaller practice settings, in terms of, you know, are there 3 midwives versus 15 midwives? So just depending on what a woman is wanting out of her birth, if she wants to be in a hospital and doesn't mind not necessarily knowing which midwife might be at her birth, then that might be where she has a doula that she knows really well and, mm-hmm. and knows that she'll have one face that she knows well, and then otherwise is relying on having the midwifery philosophy present. So knowing that whatever midwife might be there, it'll be somebody that is going to respect her wishes and help guide her along with that, and there'll be somebody who is ultimately supporting a normal physiologic process for birth, which will help significantly decrease her risk for having a cesarean birth, that kind of thing. But really, when I think about the home and birth center settings, I think of birth centers as having a home birth at somebody else's really nice house. So sure. I think of them in fairly similar brackets. That if I'm going to go to the other extreme of saying home births then and then talking about birth centers, in home settings, I think the biggest perk is you don't have to drive.
Right.
You don't have to drive to get anywhere once you're in labor, and you also don't have to drive home afterwards. You can just crawl into bed, tuck into bed, nurse a little bit, and just go right to bed in your bed after having done the hard work of birth. And I think there's something that every provider could learn from being at home births, in that it really is their turf. So in terms of mm-hmm. thinking about respecting women's wishes and coming alongside her in exactly what way she needs, when it's her turf and you're in her home, there's a shift. And it really is her space and her space to labor. And I think normal physiologic birth unfolds easiest when it's undisturbed. And there's something about being in your own home setting, in your own bed or your own bathtub, or maybe we've blown up a tub for you to still have some hydrotherapy, where it's just such a familiar setting and you're hungry, so your husband does some scrambled eggs in the kitchen around the corner, that just makes that setting really beautiful.
Great. Yeah. So as a midwife working with Health Foundations, yeah. you can go and to somebody's home. Like if they work with you and they're like, hey, you know what? I actually want to do this at home. Then you'll be able to work with Health Foundations and go to that home birth.
Yeah, so we used to do home birth.
Oh, okay.
I love home birth. I think that's still probably my favorite site for birth. We're so busy now that it's hard for us to be in more than one place.
To be so specialized. Yeah. So it's like, look, yep. this is the next best thing to being at home yes. when you come into Health yeah. Foundations. Like you said, Katrina, Health Foundations is like giving birth in a really fancy home.
Yeah. So I think for some women, like say you live in an apartment complex and the walls are thin, or say you're just too nervous to tell your mom you're having your baby at your house. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, the safety profile is very comparable. I mean, unless you're living an hour from a hospital or something like that, to be at a birth center versus to be at home, all the same medications are there. The same number of personnel are there. You're all carrying equipment to help resuscitate a baby if that's needed. So that's all there. And then I think that the perk then of the birth center is sometimes your house isn't necessarily equipped well for you to be super comfortable. So we've got huge jacuzzi tubs and we've got hot water tanks that'll go for days.
Right.
And so you've got the nice shower and you've got a setting. And for some people, especially like if they've got a lot of young kids, potentially it's just easier to have grandma come stay there and you leave to go to the birth center. Another perk is that in Minnesota, reimbursement from insurance companies for home birth typically isn't going to be able to happen. Sometimes there's ways to finagle it, whereas for birth center births, universally, they're basically going to be covered by your insurance.
Well,
so that's a big difference.
Yeah, that's
too.
A big difference for a lot of people,
but
I'm sure.
But to still have that environment setting that's a nice big bed and freedom to move. Yeah, we love being at the birth center.
Oh, that's fantastic. So, Katrina and Rachel, you are practicing midwives, and why work with Health Foundation's Family Health and Birth Center? I mean, I feel like it was probably partially, you know, a professional choice, a philosophical choice, but what about it is really attractive working at a birth center setting?
Yeah, Katrina hit on a lot of amazing perks of the birth center, but I think one of the biggest things, too, that sometimes you miss out in other settings is the community. And Amy Johnson Grass, who started the birth center, you know, almost eight years ago, has done an amazing job not only building this place that people can give birth, but seriously building a true community.
Yeah.
And we do not only follow women throughout their birth and pregnancy postpartum, but we continue to see families through many events. You know, we do an annual holiday party where kids can take pictures with Santa. We do this family picnic where, you know, 100 people come and show up, and it's this honestly a big family reunion. You know, I joke that it is. It's my family of coworkers, it's my family of, you know, people that I've worked with, and it's just so amazing to be able to continue that care and not even just get to know them in this time period of childbirth, but throughout really that time of their lives. And so building that rapport with clients is something that we feel so strongly about. As Katrina touched on, finding a place where you're most comfortable to give birth is also so much about finding a place that you trust and providers that you trust and that you can build relationships with. And that if something maybe is starting to veer off that normal track, that you will trust what they're going to say to help you, you know, you and your baby have the safest experience possible. And so Health Foundations gives us that opportunity to not only have a setting where we can solely view birth as normal and operate out of that, but we also do have the ability to take care of complications, but also be a very short, you know, 5-minute drive to the nearest hospital. And a lot of times at the birth center, we do talk about, you know, if we do need to go to the hospital, what does that look like? Transferring in for what we consider pink flags, not red flags, you know, looking at all these different things and ways to support women in that process, but also have a place that we really can provide women with autonomous choices that will be respected and that women will be seen as unique individuals, I think is just huge.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, that's so wonderful. So I have questions, Katrina and Rachel. One thing that I want to know from each of you is, what would you like, the one thing that you can share with people that you want them to know about being a midwife? What's like the one thing, maybe it's a misconception or you want to tell people what you do, if there's just, you have the opportunity to tell them the one thing that you want people to know about midwifery. If for you, Katrina, what would that be?
I think going back to the beginning when Rachel talked about midwife being the old English form of with women, I just think that really resonates, the idea of us really valuing human presence and us walking alongside women. I think to me is the most important part of what it means to be a midwife, whether what's going on is normal or whether what's going on isn't normal, whether it's walking a woman through having a miscarriage or whether it's standing alongside her through a really, really hard, tough, long labor that ultimately results in us having a beautiful baby, that we're with women for that journey to listen and to support and to ultimately empower her to be at the center of her health.
Oh, that's fantastic. How about you, Rachel?
Yeah, Katrina summed it up beautifully, but a lot of times when people ask me what I do for work, I kind of am quick to correct that. Honestly, a lot of times I don't feel like I am going to work. I love my quote unquote job. It gives me, you know, a paycheck and all those things. But honestly, the fact that I get to go to this place, work with colleagues that I truly consider my best friends, and serve women is amazing. And really, like Katrina said, being able to stand by women and their families through the best of times, you know, oftentimes being a midwife, 90%+ of the time is the most happy time of someone's life. But it also there are losses, there's challenges, and it's also a really hard time. And so be able to walk through life with all of these different things that come up is a really, really, really big privilege that I feel that I have to be able to do that. And I think a lot of people, you know, maybe can't say that. And so I feel truly, blessed and privileged to be able to do what I do. And the biggest thing, just getting to know some women that are truly rock stars and really inspire me to be a better woman and just in our society and culture. And I learned so much from the women that I serve, and I truly love midwifery.
Oh, that's fantastic. And I think we can leave on the sentiment today that women are awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thank you so much, Katrina and Rachel from Health Foundation's Family Health and Birth Center, for joining me this morning in studio on The Mom Show for Midwives 101. I think that we learned so much today, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you.
This is The Mom Show on MyTalk 107.1. We will be back again at 10 a.m. next Sunday for another edition. You're going to want to tune in for that. In the meantime, between time, we got to go. See you later.